First, there was Tuesday. Then, there was Taco Tuesday. Now at Wendy's, there's Takis Tuesday. Get a new Takis Fuego meal, aka Takis Fuego chicken sandwich, Fuego fries inspired by Takis, a bag of Takis Fuego chips, a small drink, and also a small Frosty classic. Yes, you can get that any day, but on Takis Tuesday, the Frosty is free. Make every Tuesday a Takis Tuesday. Gotta be Wendy's.
Limited time only. Participating U.S. Wendy's includes 1 ounce Takis Fuego chips while supplies last. Takis and Fuego trademarks are used under license.
This is Hidden Killers with Tony Bruschi.
You can learn a lot about someone, not just by what they say, but you know how they say it and why they say it. In the Karen Reed case, prosecutors are digging deep into behavior, encrypted messaging, secret calls, selectively leaked evidence, and a controversial alliance with a blogger known for online warfare, basically. Their argument? That this was a strategic, calculated attempt to pressure witnesses and shape the narrative outside of the courtroom. But when you strip away the headlines, what does the behavior actually tell us? Is this the panic of an innocent person backed into a corner, fighting for their life, doing whatever they think they need to do? Or are these calculated moves of someone trying to outmaneuver justice, thinking they're smarter than the rest of the room? Robin Dreeke, retired FBI special agent, chief of the Counterintelligence Behavioral Analysis Program, with us. Robin, based on what you've seen so far in all of this, do the alleged actions of Karen Reed suggest consciousness of guilt, or just someone who thinks she's smarter than the system?
Yeah, I never get a sense of whether it indicates guilt or innocence in this case, just because it's really complicated in the sense of no one remembers anything accurate.
Yeah.
Is all involved. But I think the greatest thing it shows us is her. You mm-hmm. know, this is a life pattern of how she deals with problems, how she deals with life in general. She deals with it with a lot of attempt of control, a lot of chaos, a lot of unhealthy relationships, and a lot of noise around her. And so it's very hard for individuals to kind of have and set for themselves a clear path forward to solve problems when you're creating half the problems for yourself. You know, she has this inability, as we've said numerous times, to have a loving critic in her life. Now, granted, I thought about that really hard too. Loving critics are these people that kind of gives us this objectivity so that before we write something down and mail it or say something and it's broadcast out on a Netflix show or something, mm-hmm. That they're there for us, that care deeply about us, that aren't tied to the outcome. And so she may have those things and people in her life, but the problem is her ego is getting in the way of her listening to any advice and guidance from anyone, if they're even offering it, because she's clearly indicating what she thinks is right and everyone else is wrong. And I think just from the string of texts that we've seen from her and people involved in the case beforehand and now, it's very congruent. This is just how she lives and who she is. And it doesn't bode well for someone who's trying to inspire people to trust her, because these are not the behaviors of trust.
No, it's not. I feel like at this point, it's not even an argument of, did she kill him? Did she hit him? Was this intentional? It's like, this is like a whole other case now that it's become of, did she try to influence people to not testify or to scare them or to just get her way in some way, shape, or form, or punish them in some way, shape, or form, including their family members and people who had absolutely nothing to do, even if you believe the theory of that he was beat up in the house. We're talking kids and people. It's nuts.
Right.
And the fact that we're there, it doesn't bode well for the rest of the case, because it really shows this is kind of a manipulative person, a person who's doesn't seem to have a whole lot of empathy or ability to feel empathy. This is just my conjecture based on what she demonstrated on television. And then you could start going down the road of, well, if she did hit him, would she show any guilt? Would she show any sort of remorse? Because clearly she doesn't seem to show it, even when she does seem to recognize in some parts of that documentary, what if I did? Because she goes down that road quite a bit too, but then bounces to, well, then my attorney told me this. Well, your attorney wasn't in the car with you that day, and your initial reactions were, did I, or I did. real differences of opinions there between her initial reaction and then when the attorneys get involved.
Yeah, and all these incongruent behaviors in bouncing back and forth again erodes trust, and as we've said, unfortunately, it destroys her likability.
Mm-hmm.
And now likability is not admissible in court.
No.
You know, and that's not what the jury should be deciding on, guilt or innocence. But I'm afraid, now granted, I like the judge in this case so far, and hopefully the jury instructions are very, very clear, and hopefully the jury is very objective and not subjective, but we're all human beings and so are juries, because I'm hoping that this doesn't come down to a trial of likability or dislikability, because then justice won't really be served. But again, because of the challenges we have with evidence and possible police tampering with it or not well handling of it, and Proctor was fired. I mean, there's so much. Can you imagine if there wasn't what was going on the prosecution side when it came to Proctor and the investigation, what this case would be?
Yeah. If they just simply did not go down the road of they beat him up in the house and just let it ride with that, be done. Right. But they decided it's like less is more sometimes. And they went with more, a lot more, a ton more. And that more totally convoluted this case. It made it insane. It divided a community. And then if what we're looking at here, other crimes may have been committed on top of ones that maybe she did or did not do. But over here, you are very likely committing crimes after the fact if charges are brought, because it certainly does look a lot like collusion with that, with the blogger. What do you think is going on here? Just your own personal opinion when you try to identify, is this something where, do you think Karen realized the ramifications for her actions when she started getting involved, communicating directly with the blogger? Even though her attorney said have an intermediary, and eventually she's like, well, it's easier doing it this way. It's kind of what she presented on the doc. What do you think of that? Do you think that she was intentionally knowing that this is going to get really bad for a lot of people, or she just fighting for her life, as some will argue, and you'll do anything you need if you're fighting for your life. So she was backed into a corner. So this stuff is justified.
It's funny you use that word intentional and planning and things like that when describing when we're asking these questions about Karen Reed. I don't think she does any of those things. I mean, her impulsivity seems to be extremely high. I just think she's a reactive, impulsive person, and she's got a lifetime of reps of using her skill sets that she has in life to control situations, control people, control narratives, because this is who she is.
Mm-hmm.
This is just, I do not think she's done anything that she doesn't otherwise do in every other aspect of her life. That's most likely, again, putting my conjecture hat on, put myself in the place of the people inside the house that night, that looks like they didn't really like her. And so they saw an opportunity to pile on her because they didn't like her, and we're in the mess we are now because they piled on when they shouldn't have piled on, obviously, because they're supposed to be investigating. But I don't think a lot of this is necessarily, again, I don't like, you know, the word premeditated is not right or wrong in this, because I don't think she premeditates anything. Mm-hmm. It was definitely a conscious choice, but I think their choices are made so fast and she just reacts to them that she does all these things we're seeing. It's just kind of ridiculous.
The problem with it is it wasn't just I'm talking with this blogger and he's pro me, so I'm going to be about that. Then she starts seeing what he's doing and the actions that he's taking out there with the harassment of people, just the insane behavior that a normal, healthy human being would not exercise or be a part of. And she continues to basically feed that with, as in her own words, almost daily communication, 5 to 6 days a week for several hours on end. And was now we're seeing in some of these messages back and forth where she's like, this is not for public consumption yet, but you can see it, Mr. Blogger. And then, you know, immediately, ooh, look, the leak comes out over here about this. Or not even leak sometimes, it's just flat out doxing human beings with their home information and personal information that shouldn't be out there by a maniac with a microphone and still continuing to do it and never saying, no, this is too much. This is not appropriate. I'm glad you're pro me, but it's like she doesn't have the brakes there or the wherewithal to say there's a line we don't cross here. And I'm surprised her attorneys didn't either.
Well, everyone's feeding each other's own self. I mean, literally this self-centered group of people, and they're not centered on each other. They're centered on their own actions. They're centered on their own notoriety. They're all living inside their own echo chambers. And so since there are a huge contingent of pro-Karen people out there, that's all they're listening to. Mm-hmm. And so they're only feeding their audience. Remember, laws of human nature, Robert Greene, we only consume information that validates our own self-opinion. And if you got a network of people out there that are validating your self-opinion and they want more, well, then you're going to keep providing more of that self-opinion. And since you're not listening to anyone objective on this entire thing on the other side or naysayers or anything else, and then when you shout them down or dox them or anything else, you think you're righteous because your people, your group, your social networking group is saying that you're on the righteous side. But again, the only thing they're doing is serving themselves. You know, a question sometimes comes up about, you know, Karen Reed, was she just trying to uncover and be a social justice warrior against the police department? So let's look at the data.
Yeah.
Give me another example in her life where she actually was a social justice warrior acting on behalf of someone else.
Good point. Yeah.
You know, you never have to form an opinion and take a side. You just look at people's life arcs and life arcs will tell you the answer.
Yeah.
Seriously, you know, and that's why behavior assessment's so fun. It's also so simple.
Yeah.
You just sit back, let go of your own conjecture, let go of your own opinion, and let the person's behavior tell you what the answer is. You know, because that's how we know. You know, like when we do all these cases, it's just taking a step back and looks and just saying, all right, you say this. Well, let's look at not just this moment in time, this 5 minute, 10 minute, there's this tragic night. And let's look at every night prior to that. What did the individual do throughout the course of their life and history? Mm-hmm. Does this stand out or is it kind of congruent with that behavior? So if someone claims they're about something, all right, I'm a social justice warrior. I'm just trying to expose corruption inside the police department. Great. Show me.
Mm-hmm.
Show me your benevolence you've had throughout your entire life. You know, the things you've done, you know, emails. It doesn't have to be actions. Just show me your postings on social media, how you've done this and how you fought against this. And you're seeing this as your great opportunity that's come to a head. Mm-hmm. It's an escalation. But if there's no escalation, well, it erodes credibility at that point, too, because it's just one more thing that says, I don't trust that.
Yeah.
Want more on this case and others? Then press subscribe now and don't miss a moment of true crime coverage from Tony Bruschi and the Hidden Killers podcast.